Now tonight we're going to chapter 41 of the book of Genesis and continue our studies in the life of Joseph. Chapter 41. Now those of you who were here on Sunday night will remember where we stopped, how Joseph had made known the dream to the butler and the baker. And the butler is restored to his position as the cupbearer, and the baker is hung by the neck. So that whatever Joseph told them came to pass. Now watch the opening words of chapter 41. And it came to pass at the end of 2 full years that Pharaoh dreamed. And behold, he stood by the river, and behold, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine, fat-fleshed, and they fed in the meadow. And behold, 7 other kine came up after them out of the river, ill-favored and lean-fleshed, and stood by the other kine upon the brink of the river. The ill-favored and lean-fleshed kine did eat up the 7 well-favored and fat kine, so Pharaoh awoke. And he slept and dreamed the second time. Behold, 7 ears of corn came up upon one stalk, rank and good. Behold, 7 thin ears, blasted with the east wind, sprung up after them. The 7 thin ears devoured the 7 rank and full ears. Pharaoh awoke, and behold, it was a dream. It came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled. He sent and called for all the magicians of Egypt, and all the wise men thereof, and Pharaoh told them his dream. But there was none that could interpret them unto Pharaoh. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my fault this day. Pharaoh was wroth with his servants, and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. We dreamed a dream in one night, I and he. We dreamed each man according to the interpretation of his dream, and there was there with us a young man, an Hebrew servant to the captain of the guard. We told him, and he interpreted to us our dream. To each man according to his dream he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was. Me he restored unto mine office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph. They brought him hastily out of the dungeon, and he shaved himself, changed his raiment, and came in unto Pharaoh. Now we'll pause there for a moment or two. Just keep the Bibles handy. We'll read a few more verses later on. Now I think the further you go in the life and history of Joseph, the more interesting and the more intriguing it becomes. But let me put you at your ease. When you go back to the book of Genesis or any Old Testament book, but especially the book of Genesis that deals with so many interesting characters. You recall when you were children in the Sunday school, or if you were at home and your parents read you Bible stories, these appealed to you when you were a child like historical records. It was just like the story of some young fellow or some child and so on. And you took it in just like a historical record. But as you get older and you go back and you read that, it's not simply there as a historical record. We're not simply reading history when we come to a chapter like this or any other chapter. We're reading certain things that God has put in this book for our instruction. You see, I'm quite convinced there's so many other things that happened in the life of Joseph that are not recorded. I wonder what took place during those 2 years, from the time that the butler was restored to his position. And it says, and it came to pass at the end of 2 full years. Here's 2 years that have elapsed and we haven't a scrap to tell us anything that happened to Joseph. Or anything that happened to the butler. They just seem to fade out and there's nothing recorded for 2 years. And then suddenly something happens at the end of 2 full years. Now let me repeat what I said on Sunday night. that waiting time, if you're waiting on God, waiting time is not wasted time. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Let me use another illustration from the book of Genesis. You remember God made a promise to Abraham. And it would almost appear from the human point of view that it was almost impossible for that promise to be kept. But there's nothing impossible with God. If God makes a promise, God will keep his promise. Now, Abraham had the faith to believe God. But he didn't have the patience to wait God's time. You see the trouble it brought on by trying to hurry things on in his way. He wanted it done his way. And Sarah says, now do this, Abraham. And it was all wrong. Had he waited God's time, it would have saved him an awful lot of trouble. Here Joseph is in prison. But remember, according to the dreams that Joseph had received as a young teenager, he was to be in the place of exaltation. He was to be in the place of glory, and others would bow down to him. But here he's right down at the very lowest ebb. He's in a prison. He had appealed to the butler. He said, when it's well with thee, now you remember me. You do something for me. I have been dealt with in the wrong way. I was an innocent man. But here I am, I'm in prison. Now if you get back in your position and you're carrying the cup into Pharaoh, surely you'll speak to Pharaoh for me. Tell Pharaoh about me. See if my case can be reviewed. He might let me out and let me get home. That would have been wonderful, wouldn't it? And that was about the height to which Joseph could rise in his thinking, getting out, getting home. But God had something better for him. And for 2 years, God kept him waiting still in the prison. Now it teaches me this, that you and I may have faith to believe God, but we've got to wait. We've got to have patience to wait God's time. Now, God never acts in a hurry. God never does anything too quickly or too soon. And God is never late. He's never behind time. There are certain things that God holds within his own authority. And when that time comes, God will move. And he'll move in his own way. And that's exactly what he did here. Joseph had a time in which he had to wait. Actually, he was 17 years of age when his brethren sold him as a slave. At this point here, when we come into chapter 41, Joseph has waited now 13 years. 13 years since the time that his brethren sold him. At 30 years of age, God begins to move, and Joseph right here is brought from the prison to the palace. What a tremendous step. It's not coming in stages now. Right from the lowest depth, and God is going to highly exalt him and put him, as it were, second in command in Egypt. You might say, on the throne of Egypt. The only one above him was the king. See, God knows exactly when he's going to move. But now, another truth we get to learn here is this, that all things work together for good to them who love the Lord, to them who are the called according to his purpose. And God is working all things now after the counsel of his own will. Not only for Joseph's sake, but God can see a way beyond this. And Joseph sees it later on and acknowledges it. That what God is doing here is preparing the way for Joseph's father and all the family to come down. And he's going to keep them there for a given time until the day comes when God is going to bring them back out of Egypt as a nation. Now God knew exactly how he was going to do it. He had already indicated this to Abraham. And he had told Abraham exactly how long his seed would be in bondage. How long they would be in that strange country. But Abraham didn't know what was going to bring it about. Neither did Joseph. Joseph didn't understand when his brethren sold him. He didn't understand why his character was maligned by that wicked woman. He didn't know why Potiphar didn't stand by him and believe him. But he's in prison. He didn't understand why the butler forgot him. All this is building up. But you see, God knows it all, and from behind the scenes, God is working everything after the counsel of his own will. Then again, we notice this, that the heart of the king is really in the hand of God. God can work with men at will. Here's the king of Egypt. And remember, in that day, Egypt was the power. Now you and I, we sometimes think of Egyptians as being a backward kind of a people and uneducated. But have you ever thought there are things in Egypt that is doubtful if we could build them today? I mean, you think of the pyramids and these great men of science who have gone out. They've gone in and tried to examine the pyramids and tried to discover really what are they? And who was the engineer that thought them out? Who planned them? And what is the truth behind them? You wonder how these men knew what to do way back in these days. And after all, I'll never forget going into a certain museum and seeing an Egyptian mummy. And there was a ticket on there telling how many hundreds of years old this mummy was lying in that casket. But they can't do these things today in this country. They can't do it. They don't know how it's done. Or they try, they do all sorts of, but they can't do that. You see, the Egyptians at that time really were an intelligent people and a powerful nation. And here was the king. In fact, when you come to the book of Exodus, the king who's reigning at that time, he says to Moses, "Who is the Lord that I should obey him?" In plain words, "I'm the Lord." He considered himself the Lord. Who's the Lord? Who's your God that I should obey him? Powerful. But God could take that powerful monarch, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and God could deal with him when he was lying on his bed at night. You think God's interested in men? Do you think that night when Pharaoh had his dream that he had any idea that the living God, the God of Israel, was dealing with him? I don't think he had the least idea. But one thing we know this, he had his two dreams. Now, by the way, let me go off the tangent for a moment. You remember what I said to you, I think the very first night when we introduced studying the life of Joseph, that it's interesting to watch the place that dreams played in Joseph's career. Remember, Joseph himself had two dreams that had to do with himself and his family. And then we saw how when he was in the prison, he had to do with two dreams again. The dream of the butler and the dream of the baker. And he knew the interpretation there. But now here again, we're introduced to the fact of a man having two dreams. It's Pharaoh now. And he has two dreams. And God is working with this man. But don't run away with the idea that God's going to speak to you through a dream. God's not doing that today. Doesn't need to. We've got his work today. But remember the king who was the Pharaoh down there in Egypt. He hadn't a Bible. He was an idolater. Man who worshipped false idols, false gods. God had to get at that man, and God moved on his mind. He gave him two dreams. Now, I suppose that Pharaoh, like a lot of other people, had a lot of other dreams. And when he woke up, he just, another dream. You know, sometimes when you have a dream and you wake up, you wonder, how in all the world did that get into my mind? What made me dream those silly things? Did you ever dream you were flying? Oh, yeah. Many a time I got away from a man who was chasing me in my dream light. Yeah? We had a big policeman at home. We knew him as Big Dan. Oh, boy. He liked to chase children. But he never chased men who were gambling unless they were going to run away and leave the money lying there. Dan went off and got it. But he himself gambled every day. He was very friendly with the bookie. See them there every day, and he'd be writing out his line. Well, he was a lawman, you know. But he loved to chase children. We would be playing ball game on the road. Somebody would shout, here comes Dan. We had to run, and he used to run, but he couldn't run as fast as us. Never caught one of us. And that was wrong, you did. To play football on the road was wrong. There was no other place to play. See? Then it would be up trees. Here comes Dan. Get it down the tree and run. Get it over the wall before ever he got near us. But you started to dream about that. You had some of the silliest things in your dream. You woke up and said, I'm glad it was just a dream. Glad it was just a dream. Pharaoh, no doubt, had a lot of strange dreams, and when he woke up, that was it. But not on this occasion. And the point I get from this is God was dealing with the man, and the man knew it. He knew there was something to this dream. There was a message coming from the other world. And he called in his magicians, and not one of them could give him the meaning. But see how God's working, not only with Joseph, but he can work with the king, Pharaoh of Egypt. And he can also work with the chief butler. Here's a man who has forgot something that he said 2 years before. Never passed his mind again, perhaps. Forgot all of, and all of a sudden, he comes back. After 2 years. You know, the memory is a wonderful thing. And so is the conscience. A man who has kept quiet for 2 years, forgot his promise, suddenly he remembers. And he tells the king, he says, you know, when I was in the prison, there was a young Hebrew there, and he interpreted a dream to me and also to the baker. He's a man, get him. You see how God can work with Joseph, he can work with the king, and he can work with the butler. God can work with whomsoever he likes. God can work with you, and God can work with me. He knows exactly when and how to move us. And the time has come, it's God's time. And Joseph is brought right from the prison, and he's now going to be in the palace. You know, when Joseph got there, he prepared himself to come into the presence of Pharaoh. Have you ever thought of it? You see, the culture and the customs of Egypt were different from the culture and the customs of Joseph's family. It would appear that the custom of Joseph's family up in Palestine was for the young fellows to have beards. I'm glad I didn't live there. But they had beards. But down in Egypt, it was different. In Egypt, they were like us. Now, I don't know what kind of razors they used in these days, but they were clean shaven. and they cut their hair. And Joseph, when he was called upon to leave the prison and come in and have an interview with Pharaoh, he went and had a bath. It was the custom in Egypt. He washed himself and shaved himself. And he got rid of his prison garment and dressed himself accordingly to go into the presence of Pharaoh. How would you prepare if you were to go up to the White House tomorrow? You know what you do. You look out your best suit. If necessary, you'd have it all pressed. You go up dressed your best to go in and see the president. May I suggest that to go into the presence of the Lord calls for preparation? A press is home to each of us in view of the meeting we have every Sunday night when we come to remember the Lord, not to listen to one another, not to listen to a sermon, but we come to remember the Lord and to offer our worship to Him. Do you ever have any preparation for it? Do you prepare your heart and mind for that time of worship? Or do you think it's worthwhile? Joseph prepared himself to go into the presence of Pharaoh. Now, in the presence of Pharaoh, it's very interesting to watch what he said. Now, let us take up our reading and watch how he conducted himself in the presence of Pharaoh. As you come to the verse where we finished our reading, then he begins to tell Joseph how he was dreaming and what he dreamt. Now, look at verse 25. Verse 25, and Joseph said unto Pharaoh, the dream of Pharaoh is one. God has showed Pharaoh what he is about to do. The seven good kind of 7 years and the seven good years of 7 years. The dream is one. The seven thin and ill-favored kind that came up after them are 7 years. The seven empty ears blasted with the east wind shall be 7 years of famine. This is the thing which I have spoken unto Pharaoh. What God is about to do, he showeth unto Pharaoh, behold, there come 7 years of great plenty throughout all the land of Egypt. There shall arise after them 7 years of famine, and all the plenty shall be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine shall consume the land, and the plenty shall not be known in the land by reason of that famine following, for it shall be very grievous. And for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice, it is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. Let Pharaoh do this. Let him appoint officers over the land, and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the seven plenteous years. Let them gather all the food of those good years that come, and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh. Let them keep food in the cities, and that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh, and in the eyes of all his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this? Is a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And so on. Now watch. When Joseph came in before Pharaoh and listened to the dream, Joseph took no credit to himself whatsoever. He was right in his approach to Pharaoh. He displayed a great amount of wisdom in his answer to Pharaoh. He didn't pride himself and say, oh yes, you know, I can interpret dreams, I can tell you the future. He didn't say so. He admitted it was not in him to give the answer, but the answer was with God. And he gave all the credit to God and took none to himself. Then he began to show wisdom in the advice that he gave to Pharaoh. Can you think of a boy who was only a shepherd, that's all he was. His father had a lot of sheep. And he looked after the sheep, a little shepherd boy. Standing before a king and giving advice to a king. Of course, he's 30 years of age now. Rose from being a shepherd boy. Then became a slave. Became a man in the jail. Now he's giving advice to the king. I don't know if you ever take time to read biographies. If you don't, I'll suggest to you this. It's a good exercise to start reading the biographies of outstanding men. I was intrigued when I read one about a man called John Brown. He was a shepherd boy in the hills of Fife in Scotland. Didn't even have a pair of boots on his feet. Bare feet out there with the sheep on the hillside at Newbury. But he was anxious to learn. He got a Bible and began to read the Bible. Now watch what he did. You'd find me a man today that could do this. He had a King James version of the Bible. Uneducated boy, left school when he was 10 years of age, and only had a few years in school. He taught himself the Greek alphabet from the King James Bible. Where is a man today who could do that? John Brown walked from Newbury right into St. Andrews, having saved up a few coppers. Walked into the bookstore of the St. Andrews University, where there were a few professors standing. The man behind the counter looked at them. He said, "Yes, my lad, what can I do for you?" He said, "I would like a Greek New Testament." And the professors laughed. So happened one of the professors was the professor of Greek in the university. He says, "What are you going to do with Greek New Testament?" "Study it." He said to the man, "How much will it cost, sir?" He told him. He started to look at his money. The professor said, "Bring him a Greek New Testament, will you?" He brought it through from the store. Handed to the boy. Professor says, "If you can read the first page to me," he says, "I'll pay for it." He opened it and started to read. The professor was shocked. He took it back to him, with him to the hills. John Brown became the great John Brown. I saw a Bible up in North Hills some time ago, when they used to have some old second-hand stuff in one of the shops up there. John Brown's Bible with his notes. A gold clasp or a brass clasp on it. They wanted $100 for it. Of course, he said, "I didn't buy it. I'd be dead, I might have taken it." In fact, there was a man here in Raleigh wanting me to look for one when I was home in Scotland a few years ago. That was John Brown. From a shepherd lad, became one of the most outstanding theologians in Scotland in connection with the Presbyterians in bygone years. Here's Joseph, from being a shepherd lad, is giving advice to the king of Egypt. He gives all the credit to God. See the talent he displayed. Our time's gone. We haven't finished chapter 41. We'll get on to that again Sunday night, God willing. Let us take our lessons from it. God moves in mysterious ways his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps on the waves and rides upon the storm. Don't make excuses. If Joseph could rise to be a man of God, so can any of us. Joseph had to wait God's time. You and I have got to wait God's time. Don't run before God, but don't linger when God is pulling and leading. God is never behind the time. God can use you. If you're presented to God, if you present yourself to God, as Joseph did, and kept himself pure for God. If Joseph had failed at the time of his temptation, we may never have heard of him again. But he stood the test. He came through. He triumphed. and became a mighty man of God. Let us bow in prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee for Thy kindness to us. Thank Thee for the word we've been reading tonight. We think of men like Joseph, bright stars in the firmament. But, O God, we believe Thou art still looking for men who will stand for Thee and for truth in an evil day. We pray for Raleigh. We think of the street people tonight, on a cold night, people who have nowhere to go for a shelter, some perhaps who haven't had enough food today. Oh God, remember them. Remember those who will be down at the rescue mission tonight. May someone say a word to them that will lead them to trust the Savior. Be with each of us here now and bless every home that's represented here. Watch over us. We ask these things, giving thanks to the Savior's precious name. Amen.